I didn't see her, so we'll have to do that later. Oh, she's there. Jermaine, would you mind delivering that and tell her happy birthday, Sister Charlotte? All right. Praise God. Well, what a beautiful day. What a wonderful day to be alive in the kingdom of God. And God is doing wonderful things. We had two baptized on Wednesday night in the name of Jesus. We had a wonderful marriage retreat Friday evening and Saturday morning with Sister Beth Bouts. And we are prospering and growing, and God is helping us and building us. We talked to Service First on Friday, and we are scheduled to close on the Ruffner Road property on next Thursday. This is a big deal. It's like a three-year walk in a miracle, and you're standing in the middle of the miracle this morning. That answers a lot of questions for us concerning revival and growth and all of that. So God is just continually doing wonderful things. And we're open to that, and we want to let God go. We don't want to be like Jacob wrestling with God and God saying, let me go. Let me go. Let me be God is what he was saying. You want to let God go. You don't want to bind God up in anything because he's got big plans. His plans are above yours, like the heavens are above the earth. He can do exceeding abundantly above everything that you can ask or think. So don't think little when you're thinking about God. Think big when you're thinking about God. Don't diminish the small, because he's with you every step of the way and he takes delight. And it's the little thing and the big thing are all the same thing to God. One is not any more strenuous for him than the other. God does great things and is able to do great things. So this afternoon we have a single mom's luncheon. And if you are a part of that, your child care is going to be at balcony level to my right, to your left, right in the corner over here. There's a room labeled 214, and that's where your child care will be for that single mom's luncheon. And so it's going to be a wonderful time. Sister Bouts always brings good things. So, Sister Bouts, we love and appreciate you, and we're so glad that you're here today. And we spent a good bit of time this morning in theology class talking about what you brought to us. You can come on. We appreciate her pastor and Brother Larry Booker, and we love and appreciate her husband, Brother Mike. Wonderful, wonderful people. And Sister Bouts has done great work in her clinical practice, and she is widely used of God. She is a treasure to the Apostolic Church, and I want you to open up your heart and your family to her today as she comes. Sister Bouts, we love you and we appreciate you.
Thank you so much. You may be seated. I think I lost 5 pounds just worshiping this morning. This was good, you know, and I thought, who needs aerobic class when you're in the church? Love it. And I can't wait for that single mom's banquet today. If I was a single mom, I'd come just to have babysitting. We used to, by where we were at, we used to have an IKEA. Is it IKEA? Yeah. And it was a big store, and they would have babysitting. And I would take my kids in there, and I'd just walk around the store just so I didn't have to have my kids. I'm being serious. I can't open this. Thank you, brother. They don't make these for women because they're hard. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate that. Yeah, so I look forward to that. I was raised in a home. My mother divorced my father after 20 years of marriage, and I was 5 years old when we left. She had 6 children. And she raised 6 children by herself, and I'm a product of that. I'm excited about today for single moms because I really feel a burden for that, and I want to encourage you, moms, to just keep on doing it. You know, just keep on bringing your kids to church. Keep on. And you know what? God is the expert at putting broken pieces together. He really is. And my life is just a representation of that. I'm sorry my husband couldn't come. He actually, last time he was here, he loved it so much. As we're leaving, he's talking about how we can move here. He, you know what it is? It's the beautiful church and the beautiful presence of God. And I'm not just saying that, I mean that. But it's also the beautiful trees that you all have. I told the Lord, I said, because I'm from California and I was raised in Los Angeles. And I told the Lord, when we get to heaven, please don't have palm trees, because palm trees are not heaven. You know, I mean, like, there's real trees that have leaves and the leaves turn colors and they fall down. And I love that. If I had a tree that lost its leaves, I would never rake it. I just think that was the coolest thing, all the leaves on the grass, because we don't have that. All I have is the palm things, and they bloom all year, and you know what? And it's just, it's the pits. No, but I appreciated that marriage retreat. I enjoyed it. I had several people said, I learned so much about myself, and I'm so happy about that. I actually gave everybody personality tests. It was so much fun to figure out their personalities and learn about some really cool things about us. And we did all kinds of fun things, and I made them kiss and all kinds of stuff. And I'm an old lady, so I'm 53 years old, and I figure I don't have a license, and I can do whatever I want. So I just tell them, hey, I want you to kiss, and they're all embarrassed, and I love it. And I just go around and take pictures, and no one can take my license away. This really works out really good. But I really do have something for you today for New Life. I love that name, New Life. Isn't that beautiful? Because that's exactly what this is about. That's exactly what this is about. When I came to God when I was 17 years old, that's exactly what happened to me. I had nothing to offer God, and I came to an altar. I had been sexually abused, physically abused. I was so poor, and I just came to God. And I remember I come up to an altar, and I say to God, I don't have anything to give you. I have nothing to bring you. And I'm looking around at the people in the church, and I'm saying to myself, they're just perfect. They have everything. I have nothing. But God, if you can love me, if you can love nothing, then I'm here. And you know what he did? He showed me through all these years of living for him that God can do something with nothing. He really can. And I love that. I love him for that. He can do something with nothing. And I praise God for that. Well, I thought today, what is it? I'm laying in bed last night in my hotel, and I'm thinking, what is it that I can do that I can teach you? And I need God to talk to me, because I'm clueless. I'm clueless, you know? I'm not a preacher. I'm a woman. You know? And you know women have 20,000 words a day to share. You know, and so I figured we had till about 2 o'clock today, and you guys have to listen to me. Maybe that's one reason my husband didn't come, because he has to hear me all the time. I mean, who knows? No, he was in England for 3 weeks working, and he's an aeronautical engineer, and he just got home. And so he wasn't able to come, because I'm telling you, he would have come for sure, because he loves this place. Well, so I thought last night, what is it that I can teach that can help change the course of someone's life so they can be more productive personally and professionally. And how is it, God, that we can become, and I feel like that even now at 53 years old, how is it that I can become everything, not just some of the things, but everything that you meant for me to become? And so I decided, you know what? I'm going to talk today about having overflowing joy. And that's what we're going to talk to you about today. God is good to us. And if it's okay, let's just pray real quick. I need God to guide us. And I need you to be able to receive what it is. So God, open our ears. I'm asking you right now. Open our ears and our heart. Help us to become everything that you want us to become in you, God. We're asking in the beautiful name of Jesus. In the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to explain to you. Now, we all know. I'm a normal woman. I have a normal job. At least it seems normal. And we all have stresses. We all have stresses. We all have experiences and disappointments. And we all have problems. I don't know about you, but there's a few members in my family that are difficult. I know you don't have that. I know you don't have that. You all have perfect families. Right? Can I hear an amen? There's not a whole lot of you saying that. But I have some that are difficult, and that's okay. I call them grace makers. They help me learn patience and love and unconditional love. We all have times where we have financial problems. We have problems with friends. But if we're not careful, what can happen is this. All our problems, they weigh us down. And then inside of us, we become this negative person. This person that it becomes way too easy to complain about things. It becomes kind of easy to get discouraged. You know what I mean? Well, I'm here to tell you that, you know what? That's not the plan of God for your life. That's not the plan of God for your life, nor is it the key to becoming productive. When I'm talking about productivity, I'm talking about just being a Christian in our world, you know, and in our workplace and at school. All right, so I love the scripture because to me it's so empowering, and I love empowering scriptures. That scripture in Jeremiah, you know, I held on to that said, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Well, when you're a 17-year-old girl coming to the Lord and you have nothing, and you're actually being abused at home, I needed to hear this. I needed someone to tell me, you know what? There's hope, and God has a future to me. Because at that moment in my circumstances, it didn't make any sense. And I didn't understand. And I would say, God, why me? Why did all this happen to me? Why couldn't I have been born in a home, in a Christian home, where I didn't have to have any of this happen? And I still don't know why. But what I have learned is this, and God revealed it to me, and I'm going to paraphrase the scripture. It says, what the devil meant for bad, God turned to good. And that's what he did for me. That's what he did for me. However, sometimes I can't control the circumstances around me. I can't control what people say and what people do. But what I can control is what happens inside of me. That's what I can control. My reactions, I can control. My behavior, I can control those things. Even my thoughts, The things about myself that I say to myself, I can control those things. I really can, and you can too. A lot of times I have clients come and they pay me and they say, Beth, just tell me how I can be happy. Well, let me tell you this, happiness comes from within. It comes from within. Happiness is not based on your circumstances. Happiness is not based on who you marry, or it's not based on where you live, and it's not based on how much money you have. Now, I might be a woman, but I'm not a fool. And I can tell you, money kind of helps. So what I'm not saying is to be poor. I tell the Lord, make me a millionaire. I do. I even asked my pastor, how much do we owe on this building? And he told me. And I said, Lord, that's how much I need, except for would you double it? And I'll give you half. Yeah, I'm not a fool. I might be a woman, but I'm not a fool. So joy comes from knowing that God is in your boat. How many people believe that God's in your boat? Okay, if God is in your boat, anything can happen. There are no limits. Isn't that wonderful? There's no limits. Okay, it's just like this building. I'm looking out thinking, you guys just moved in here? Oh my word, it's almost full. Thank God for the balcony, because oh my, I think you should have moved in here years ago. I'm going to be honest. This place looks like a college campus. I couldn't believe it as we're driving up here. I said, is this all of it? I mean, like, why? When does it stop? That's amazing. I got lost going to the bathroom. I mean, wow, this is a miracle. This is a miracle. I mean, who buys buildings like this for that? Nobody does. Let's be real. Let's be real, folks. The only people, the only ones that limit God is us. And God is saying, let me show you the kind of blessing I want to give you. You're thinking you're going to have a building. Well, I'm going to show you what building. I'm telling you, it's really exciting. All right, so all things work together, the Bible says, for the good of those that love him. I love him. So that means that all things are going to work together for the good. And I just take it as that. And so, like, why worry about stuff? I mean, seriously, I'm so not worrying that I walked out and Brother Sutton had to go give me, hey, Beth, there's your purse over there and your iPad and, you know, and your stuff over here. I'm so like, I just love Jesus. I don't even notice nothing else. Someone asked me in church, did you see that lady's shoes? Are you kidding me? I don't even notice. I'm doing good to get dressed myself. What I'm trying to tell you is this. You have a choice. You have a choice. It's an attitude choice. It really is. It's an attitude choice. And your attitude and the attitude that you choose will affect how you see your world and your circumstances. Now, things happen in our lives that make us upset. But we decide how we're going to respond to those things. We can yell. We can talk negatively. We can complain. Or we can do what the Bible says and to be angry and sin not. And just pray about it and say, God, I'm just leaving it in your hands and I'm moving on. Because you know what? Most of what you worry about never even comes to pass. So, like, why spend the energy? That's kind of how I feel. It's like, why spend the energy? I just walk around and say, God, you know if I need that, you'll give it to me. I know you will. I have no doubts about it because I came with nothing. And now I have everything. And it had nothing to do with me other than I just kept walking and God just kept blessing. And what I learned is that, you know what, God, if I just keep walking and doing the right things, you just keep blessing. And so I'm just going to keep giving and you give more. I mean, it really does work. It's easy, actually. It really is. When we live with an attitude like that, what we're actually doing is we're tapping into the joy within. John 4 and 14, remember the story of Jesus and the woman in the well? And he says, I'm going to give you living water. That was actually just recently a revelation to me. And I've been in church about 30 years. So it was a revelation to me. All of a sudden, you know, I hear the scripture, oh, I'm going to give you living water. And whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of springing a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Okay, well, I heard that scripture for 30 years. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's good. I like that. Okay, that's really great. And then I started looking that up. And what I learned is, when he's talking about this well of water that's springing up unto everlasting life, he's talking about a water that's not dormant. And somehow in my head, I couldn't picture that. And I thought, what does that mean, God? What do you mean by a spring up of water that's not dormant? The New Living Testament puts it this way. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them. A fresh, remember, not dormant, bubbly spring within us. That's continually flowing. Okay, let's think about that. Because, you know, we all get up and go to our jobs. And we work a full day, and we come home, and we do dinner, and we clean the house, and we throw in a load of laundry, and we're doing all this stuff. What is he saying when he says about continually flowing, bubbling up joy? Okay? Because, you see, sometimes I get down. I really do. I just get down over stuff. And so I'm looking, though, and I said, God, your scripture says in Ephesians 5 and 18 for us to be filled with the Spirit. Now, we all know that. But I'm just going to be honest. I'm kind of on a journey that I'm trying to figure out what it really means. What does it really mean to be filled with the Spirit? Verse 19, I love it because I think, you know what? I get down sometimes. I'm not an overly negative person, but I get down. And when I'm like this and I have things that kind of come up against me, what is it that I need to do? You know the beautiful thing? It's really all in the Bible. And he tells us, and he said, Beth, this is what you do. And he says, it says in Ephesians 5 and 19, he says, just speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. Okay, that's a key. That's a key here for us. When I'm down, what does he tell us to do? Give thanks for all things, always. Okay, somehow I started connecting the dots and saying to myself, I think this has to do something with that springing, bubbling up, continually flowing thing. Somehow it's all starting to come together for me. The scripture is giving us techniques on how to keep the spring continually flowing. Because you see, we choose that. We choose. So we're talking about how to be more productive personally, professionally. How do we become more and become everything God meant for us to be? Okay, I'm like done with just going to church. I don't have anything to prove to you at all this morning. Nothing. I feel very comfortable because I feel like what I'm talking about is what God wanted me to talk to you about. So I feel comfortable. If he's in control, I'm good. I'm right behind him. Okay? So I got nothing to prove. I'm just trying to help you understand something that I'm just trying to understand. Even after 30 years. I want the kind of life skill, this singing in our hearts and being thankful, I want it to be a habit. I want to wake up with it on my mind. You know? Instinctively, I want to grab my phone in the morning. And I kind of want to look at the news. I kind of want to look to see what everyone's doing. I want to check my emails. Really, though, lately I've been convicted about that. I'm not saying that you need to be convicted. I'm just saying that I've been convicted. And it's like, you know what? God, I really want to mean when I say I put you first. You know? I need that continual flow. How do I get it? Psalms, hymns, thanking you for all things. Okay, well, let me implement that in my life. Because I really do want to be everything that you meant me to be. And I'm going to be honest, I don't even know what that looks like. I don't know what that looks like. But I want it to be a habit. So you know what? When I'm driving to work, or if we're going somewhere, I want to get in the habit of thinking about God and the goodness of God. Every time you drive by this church, thank God for this miracle. Don't ever forget that it's a miracle. Don't ever forget that. You know, the Israelites went walking around for 40 years. Scholars say they should have made it in 11 days to Canaan. 40 years, round and round and round. And they forgot all about the wonderful miracles that God did. Don't forget those things. But how do we remember? We remember by saying them to ourselves. We remember that every time we walk by, thank you, Jesus. Or every time you see your child, thank you, Jesus. Every time your husband gets up and goes to work, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for my home. Every time you do the laundry and you're thinking, how in the world the three people make so many dirty clothes? Well, maybe instead of thinking that, say, thank God for all our clothes. Thank God that I have so many things that I literally have to pick them up in the living room. Thank God that I have children that leave their toys all over the living room. No, ladies, make sure your kids pick up their toys. When you live a life that's singing melodies in your heart, what God is doing, and He's showing me this. He says, Beth, what I'm trying to do for you is I'm pouring peace and victory in your soul. And I'm telling you, with what I do, I need peace and victory in my soul. Because when people come to me because they have a problem, I'm not God. I need God to help me and give me wisdom to help them. But I also need God once they walk out of my office to help them. I need Him for everything. And I've learned that. I even need Him to pour in peace and joy in my heart. Because if you guys haven't noticed, this world's pretty dark. But you know what I think? Thank God. Let it be as dark as it wants to be. Matter of fact, let it be darker. Because the church, it just makes the church the brightest thing in the world. Who's got joy? The church. Isn't it the truth? I mean, isn't it great? Isn't it like a shot in the arm when you come to church? It really is to me. It really, and it has been for 30 plus years. I love church, but you know what? Monday comes. Now, when I leave here Monday, I have to get on 3 or 4 planes. It's horrible. I don't even arrive until midnight. Ugh, that's if I even don't get caught up somewhere. Monday's gonna come. I even thought about it this morning. Monday is coming, and I'm not looking forward to it. But thank you, Jesus. At least I'll be on a plane, and I'm not driving. Because, honey, if I was driving, we'd be in trouble. You gotta know me. I get lost in a round room with one door. At least that's what my husband says. He says, Beth, you get lost in a round room with one door. And you know what? He's the truth. I'm just wandering around enjoying life. So I just don't even notice. I walked out of the bathroom over here and had to get directions. I did. Like, hey, which way is it? I love it. I really do. But you know what? Church is awesome, but Monday problems come. It's kind of like a helium balloon. I love those helium balloons. They're so pretty. And when they're full, they rise up high. But if you've noticed, like as the days go by, they kind of just kind of go lower and a little bit lower and a little bit lower. Well, you know, the truth is there's nothing wrong with the balloon. It's just leaking helium. That's all. If you put helium back in that helium balloon, it'll rise right back up the next day. We're a lot like that. Sundays are filling up our helium time. It's like, yes, I walk out of church and I go, yes, God, you can do anything. You can do, isn't it wonderful? I just love it. It's like, you can do, and I'm not even worried about that no more. You got it. I'm good. And then I wake up in the morning and go, oh, my helium balloon kind of like leaking some helium here. What I'm talking about is changing the course of our life so that we can be everything God meant for us to be. But what is the magic technique? How do we get Sunday on Monday? How do we get Sunday on Tuesday? How do we get Sunday on Wednesday? And Thursday and Friday? And how do we do this? Well, I'm going to tell you how. It's actually not all that hard. Next time you have a negative thought about yourself or your circumstances, start thanking God for his blessings. You're going to notice that instead of leaking helium, you're going to become stronger. And you will fly higher than ever before. I can promise you that. I love living for God. I don't just like living for God. I actually love living for God. Why wouldn't you love living for God? I mean, you pour out blessings. I don't gotta worry about nothing. He's good, and I can trust him in that. I love working, living for God. And you know what? I don't wanna just work for God. I really do wanna work with God, and there's a difference. There's a difference. So when I'm doing something in the church, I remind myself, I'm not working for you as much as I'm working with you. And without you, none of it makes sense. With you, everything makes sense. So, what do you say that we get out of the habit of worrying and we get out of the habit of defeat? Because the truth of the matter is, we're not defeated. I need to remind you of that. You're not defeated. Nope. He's got a promise for you. He's got something for every one of us to do. I mean, look at me. I'm nothing. I have nothing. I had nothing. I have everything now. And I only have that because of him. If you'd have told me all those years ago I'd have been up here even talking to you, I wouldn't have believed you. You know what? We just keep walking. God opens all the doors. So I pray now. You know, I used to pray, God, you know how that scripture talks about, like, you know, knock and it'll be open to you. Okay, so I used to always pray, you know, I'll knock, God, and you know, you open the door, okay, and I'll go through. Okay, well, what I've learned about that scripture is God makes me walk through doors I ain't comfortable. And it's like, I'm knocking on that. No, I don't think I want to walk through that one, God. You just shut that door. I'm really more comfortable over here. I'm being honest with you. I'm being painfully honest with you. You ever get in situations you're not just comfortable and you have to do them? And it's like, oh, God, I'm not prepared for this one. Well, I have learned that I am not prepared for anything, but he's prepared. And so I just kind of walk in him and just wait to see what he's going to do. But I'm human. And so now I pray, God, I'm going to knock. You open the door you want to open. And then would you mind giving me a little help and kicking me through? Because I have a hard time walking through sometimes. The Bible talks about in Philippians 4 and 8, think on the things that are pure and lovely. Ah, I'm thinking on those pure and lovely things. Somehow Hawaii kind of comes by too, you know? I mean, Hawaii, yeah, I could see that. I always say I want to do beach ministry. You know, you just kind of lay there in your chair and you pass out tracts, you know? You know, I tell them my husband and I are called to Hawaii. Just as a joke. But you know what? We think on the pure and great things. So driving to work, thank you, God, for our job. If your boyfriend breaks up with you, thank God for all the time that you're saving. I mean, look at that. Thank you, God, you got rid of him, and you're just, look, this is awesome. If you're single, thank God, you could be, it's better to be miserable and single than miserable and married, I can tell you that. There's always a positive. There's always a positive. Make it a habit to meditate on the goodness of God. When you spend your time and energy complaining about your life, what you don't have and what you're not, you're only hurting yourself. You're only hurting yourself. You're deflating your own balloon. The Bible says, as a man or a woman thinketh, so is he. Amen. You are what you think you are. Amen. God sees you as great. Do you see you as great? You are great. I'm not just saying that, but we're only great because of God. Because he's great, we're his children. It's a great life. I'm not joking. It really is a great life. No one has to live upset and worried. Nobody in this building has to live upset and worried. That's a choice that you make. You make the choice to see the best in people. It's a way of life. It's that spring that he's teaching me about. It's that overflowing stuff that I'm just learning about. And you know what? Since I've gotten that revelation, I feel like I'm flying. I feel like I'm walking in his wheel, even though sometimes he has to kind of redirect me. But I'm learning. I'm learning. So, the other day I got up, and I'm sitting. I have this like little area in my kitchen, and I get to see outside in the garden, and I'm hearing the little birds all flying around, and they're chirping, and they're all happy. Well, I was having one of those bad hair days. You know, women, what I'm talking about, you have a bad hair day, and every day everything kind of looks not so happy. It's one of those days that you look at yourself and you go, oh, I'm fat, my hair, I'm getting gray, look at that extra wrinkle. I mean, you know, it's those kind of days that we start off, that's what the devil wants us to do. Instead of saying you're beautiful, God loves you, he's going to use you, okay? So I had one of those days, and I'm looking at the birds, and I'm talking to them. I'm not crazy. I just thought I'd bring that up in case you thought I was. But I'm really not crazy. But I said to the birds, I said, don't you realize that the gas prices are going up? And they're just hopping and chirping and happily flying around. And I said, don't you realize that unemployment is an all-time high? And in California, they only let you water your lawn twice a week. And I have to have a special certificate or something that I have to get just to turn on the fireplace. And there's lots of taxes. And, I mean, it just goes on and on. And I'm telling the birds this. And they're just happy. And you could almost see them wagging their little tails. And I'm having a bad hair day. And they're just whistling. And then I come across a scripture in Matthew that says, you know what, Beth, don't fear. Because if I take good care of that sparrow, and I don't forget them, why in the world would I forget you? You're more valuable to me. And then I sit there and I think, you know what, God? When I came to God, I don't even remember what the preacher said. I feel bad for them because they prepare and they pray and they fast. And all I heard him say was, God loves you. And I heard that and I thought, God, the people that loved me hurt me. But I'm going to give you a chance because I don't got nothing else. And I walked down the aisle and all I heard was, God loves me. So as I'm sitting by that window looking at the birds and having my bad hair day, he reminds me again 30 years later, God really does, Beth, love you. I don't know about you, but that means a lot to me. It means a lot to me that God loves me. The God of the universe loves me. He loves you. Is that not amazing? That we're all sitting here together, all of us brothers and sisters, and he loves us? It's really quite a revelation. It really is. Philippians 2 and 14. God's really good to us. And you ever have like stuff you're going through and he reminds you of scriptures? Yeah. And he reminded me of this as I'm looking at those birds. And he says, remember that scripture that says, do all things without murmuring and complaining? And I'm going, ouch, you know? Ouch. So I thought, okay, do all things without murmuring and complaining. I'm going to take out the trash, and I'm going to be the happiest person you ever seen take out the trash. Because I'm going to do it without murmuring and complaining. So when you're cleaning your room, when your mom says, go and clean your room, say, thank you, Jesus. And say, Mom, thank you so much. I mean, it'll flip her out, guys. It will flip her out. And just go in there whistling, Jesus, and you clean your room, and you just thank God for your room. When you go to work, don't go to work with a sad face. Go to work with a happy face. We live in a dark world. They need hope. We're that hope. How hard is it to be happy? Go in and smile. Be nice to people. When you're paying your bills and go, oh, thank you, Jesus. This electricity bill is $500. Oh, you know what? I just thank God I have the $500 to pay it. Oh, I mean, things could be bad, but things aren't that bad. We have the money. So, my pastor says this, and I love it, actually. He says, you ever met somebody that when they walk in the door, the lights go out? You know what I mean? Negative. Like, you see somebody that, and we all know people like this, when they come and they're walking towards you, you go, it's almost like as if you're bracing for an earthquake. You know, and you're thinking, oh, the lights go out. Okay. And then there's the other person. When they walk through the door, the lights go on. I want to be that kind of person that the lights go on. I do. You know why? Because life's too short. Life's too short. And you know what? I don't want to say that I don't have time for people that suck the helium out of my balloon. But I don't have time for people that suck the helium out of my balloon. I'm working hard to keep that thing full. The truth is that we actually all create much of our own unhappiness. People love to blame. Oh, I blame this, and I blame this, and I blame this, and it was the way I grew up, or it's because I don't make enough money, or blah, 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 blah. Okay? The truth is, we create much of our own unhappiness. There's a whole world out there, and we focus way too much on the negative. The Bible says that there is a well in you that will never run dry. But what that means, guys, is that your internal dialogue, the things that you think in your head, need to be positive. We need to learn to trust God in everything. We need to live for God in everything. I'm just being honest. You're never going to live a victorious life if you have a negative mentality. Amen. Never going to live it. So, today. What is today? Sunday the what? 23rd. Sunday the 23rd, 2016. In October. Can you believe we only have... I read somewhere it was like how many weeks? It was like 12 weeks or some crazy thing to Christmas. That was kind of depressing. We need to take control of our thought lives. This is going to be a great day. This is going to end a great year. This is going to be the beginning of great things. I can't wait till 2017. I don't care if it's Trump or Hillary. I don't care. I don't know. I don't really worry about it, to be honest. Because I know God's in control. And 2017 is going to be a great year. David said it best, I think. With God, I can do anything. I love that. Can you believe that you guys can do anything? Anything. Anything. I love that. So, I'm just determined to make the most of every day. Because you see, I'm not going to let that well dry out. Nope. If God promised to fill me up with this flow, I'm going to make sure it's flowing. I'm going to make sure that there's no beavers building any kind of, you know, things there so that the water stops. I'm just not. I'm going to keep my eyes out for that kind of stuff because I am going to live a victorious life. Habakkuk. I've read this scripture the other day, and I thought it was fascinating. It's Habakkuk 3:17 through 18, and it says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms. Okay, you can't have figs with no blossoms, folks. And there's no grapes on my vines. Okay, that's kind of a sad state. I mean, that's what you have grapevines for grapes. And my fields lie empty. That's what he says. I'll rejoice in the Lord, and I'll be joyful in God, my Savior. What he's saying is that when I look at my circumstances, there's nothing to be happy about. But I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to be happy in God because God is my joy. Life is too short, folks. I've come here to tell you and you and you and you. Life is too short to have a half empty balloon. Too short. Whatever your circumstances, praise God. Whatever you're going through, praise God. If you're sick in your mind or your body, praise God. If you want to be successful in all you're going to do in your life and become everything that God has meant us to become, then we're going to throw the negative thinking out and we're going to stop right here today, October 23rd, and we're going to keep that well bubbling and overflowing with the joy of the Lord. I promise you, it's that simple. It's that simple. Let's all stand. Brother Sutton. Brother Sutton. This is that door that I was telling you about that I need God to kick me through. God, can you imagine if every single person in this room had that kind of a mentality? God can do mighty things with a spirit like that. What do you think that today we would make a new commitment? Okay, God, when I walk out of those doors, I'm done with the stinking thinking. Because all things are possible with you. I'm going to give it my 100%. Because you're so good to me, and you deserve it. This isn't only about church. This is about life. And I promise you, God wants us to have life more abundantly. But the question is, do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants you to live life more abundantly? I do. So, God, if you got 6 million laying around, I'm available. God, whatever you got for me to do, I'm here. But it isn't about me, really. It's about you. I'm gone on Monday. You're here. The intention for God was to grow this church. And he's doing it right now, not tomorrow, today. Why? Because he loves us. And he loves all those people there that aren't here today. He wants them to live a life victorious. He wants us to live a life more abundantly. He wants you to become everything he meant for you to become. If you'll only believe.
Now, an altar call is when we bring things to an altar. It's an Old Testament type of when they would offer up things to God. In the way that it's progressed, we in this church age, we have an altar. We don't drag a goat down and cut its throat. If we had to, we would. A bull or something like that. Can you imagine how messy all that was? We don't do that. we have kind of refined it to bringing sin down to an altar, our lives to an altar, because that's what the scripture says, bring your life, making a living sacrifice. And so we bring ourselves and we offer ourselves up to God. Now, she hasn't preached to you today against things that if you ask your neighbor, what is sin? And they might give you a list of things, you know, smoking and drinking and cussing and dancing with bow-legged women, and might give you a list of all kinds of things. But you know, self-imposed depression is a sin. And self-imposed anger and mully grubbing and griping and complaining, it's a sin because it resists what Sister Bouse is talking about today. It resists the joy of God. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. It works against what God's doing in your life. The devil can go to the Bahamas. You're doing it all by yourself if you're imposing this with your own mouth upon yourself. You don't need a devil. You're killing yourself spiritually, because everything that comes out of your mouth is a gripe or a complaint or a oh, a woe. And that's exactly, she's right up in the heartland of where the joy of God is. And so this morning, I'd like to have an altar call, and I'd like for you to bring your murmuring. You know who you are. You've been complaining. And you're like somebody that doesn't believe in God, because you're complaining about things that God can fix and God is the answer to. But you need to come down to this altar today, and you need to just begin to tell God, you know, God, I believe you can do anything. I believe you can do everything. I'm going to leave my concern and my doubt and my anxiety and my anger. I'm going to leave it in this altar this morning, God. And I'm going to, instead of cursing and complaining and worrying, I'm just going to say God is able. I'm just going to say God is good. The first thing I want you to do is repent. I want you to begin to tell God that you need Him. You need Him to cleanse you and forgive you for everything you've loosed out of your mouth, every promise you've rejected, every blessing you've turned aside. But then I want you to begin to praise Him, magnify Him, and worship Him. Thank you for the blessings, God. Thank you for the goodness, God. Thank you for everything you poured out in my life. Thank you for healing and strength and blessing. God, I know you've got my life in your hand. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and worship. Go ahead and seek Him.